Galatians, the first chapter, the first of the ninth verses, and we will read responsively. Now, here is God's answer to those who may have some other gospel outside of the gospel that we preach week by week and that I mentioned last Sunday night in the last chapter of Luke, where Jesus says that we were called for a specific purpose, the preachers of the Word of God. And that was this: go into all nations and preach repentance and remission of sins. That is the job of the Church of Jesus Christ. You would be deceived today if you look around you and see what churches are doing. Anything but this: the preaching of repentance and remission of sin. That is why we preach here, that lest a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For being born again is having gone to Christ, gone to him as Savior, believing that he's the Redeemer, that he died for you. And that new birth is believing on Christ as your personal Savior. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's simple. You believe that Jesus, meaning of the word is Savior in the Greek, that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the anointed one of God. This person has been born of God. Lest a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And upon that new birth, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says he will give it to you. So that then his Spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and you will know that you are a child of God. You won't have any doubts about it. You will know that you're a child of God. It won't have anything to do with your condition of life. It won't have anything to do as to whether you're prosperous or poor. It won't have anything to do with disease or death. It has to do with your infinite holy faith in Christ as your personal Savior, despite the conditions, despite variations in feelings. These are all incidental to the truth of the Word of God, that you are redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is God's Word. This is repentance and remission from sin. This is what God calls us to do. Now notice this portion in the first to the ninth verses. Paul, an apostle, notice, not of men, neither by man. In other words, we're liable to get an idea, you know, that men choose this profession, or certain men pronounce certain holy vows over a man, and this makes him a preacher. Paul makes sure we understand it has nothing to do with that. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that right away. You see, there it is. Peace, grace and peace. How do I get the grace and peace? Who gave himself for our sins? You see? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. I'll read the fifth verse. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's not me saying this, that's God saying it. You know, if I were to stand here and say, let that preacher be accursed for what he's preaching, you'd probably look up to me and say, ooh, what a dreadful man. You see? But I don't have a thing to say about this. This is God's word. Let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. And he repeats it. If any man preach, so that there's no doubt about what he means, any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And I think, too, here, as we close this portion, we should remember that the great problem right here was this. The Judaizers were going throughout wherever Paul, they followed him up. And wherever Paul went, they went. And he went there preaching the unsearchable riches of God and the grace of Christ without anything, God's gift to man. And the Judaizers came in behind Paul and said, what Paul preaches is very good, but you also must keep the Ten Commandments to get into heaven. They were the lawgivers. And as soon as you mentioned the law, what good would grace do? And because grace would have no value, you can't keep the law. He that offendeth in one tittle of the law, God says, is guilty of the whole law. It's not a matter of whether you committed adultery or stole or murdered. That has nothing to do with it. Jesus says, on the two first commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So you don't have to go any further. You can say, I failed. Has anybody here loved their neighbors and their loved ones and their relatives like themselves? Put your hand up high and let us all see it. We would rejoice. Everyone you've ever met. And you've loved the Lord your God with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind. Just think of the thoughts of one day. You see, so we're put under the judgment of God. See the impossibility of it here. So these were the men who were coming after and say, it's all right, the grace of God, but you've got to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, we know what the Word of God says. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes. You see? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see? For the law was a ministry of condemnation and death. That's what Paul says. So we have eternal life by his gracious gift of salvation. May the Lord add his blessing to this precious portion of his word.